Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship. On this program, we will examine the seven raptures in the Bible. While many falsely teach that the rapture isn't even in the Bible, we will see that not only is it in the Bible, but there are seven clear examples of God rapturing believers according to the Scriptures. We now invite you to join our study of the seven raptures in the Bible. I've pretty much settled personally on these seven as undeniable examples of raptures in the Bible. But how many times have you heard somebody say the rapture isn't in the Bible? If you've talked to very many people through the years over the issue of Bible study, you'll hear them say that. I say, well, the rapture's not in the Bible. And I don't want to be too harsh, but it's a ridiculous statement. And I think you'll see by the time we're done tonight how ridiculous that statement is. But what they really mean is the word rapture, R-A-P-T-U-R-E, is not found in the Bible. And that's true. In your English Bible, the King James Version, you will not find the word rapture in that Bible. You also will not find the word Trinity. But we believe that there are three persons in the Godhead, and the Bible teaches that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but there are not three gods, there's one God, and that is the Trinity. So while you won't find the word Trinity in the Bible, you will find the Trinity taught in the Bible. And that's the same way it is with the rapture. But there are other words, the word incarnation. You won't find the word incarnation in the Bible. But we use that word because it refers to God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Theophany. Theophany is the teaching that in the Old Testament, Jesus appeared. He was the angel of the Lord. And that's a theophany. Now, the word theophany isn't in the Bible. But the teaching is. And the word Bible is not in the Bible. But now, if you get a Greek Textus Receptus and read it, the word Biblos is in there. So technically you could say it is in the Greek Bible. But the word originally comes from our Greek Bible text, which says harpazo. Translated in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, one of the best known rapture verses in the Bible, says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." And those words caught up are translated from harpazo. And when they're caught up together with them in the clouds, that's talking about the dead in Christ who have already been caught up before that. And to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's the rapture. The word rapture is not in that verse, but the catching up, the harpazo, Greek, is in that verse. So I guess maybe what we ought to do is just start telling people we believe in the pre-tribulation harpazo. And that's why I stick with the English word rapture. But the doctrine of the rapture definitely is in the Bible. And we're going to look at seven raptures in the Bible. Now, rapture number one is the rapture of Enoch. And in Genesis 5:24 it says, "And Enoch walked with God." And that should describe how we try to live our daily lives. But Enoch had something special going on. Read that with me. Genesis 5:24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." You didn't convince me. Read that again. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." It's clear, Enoch is walking with God, and God just took him. Now, I've heard preachers describe this and say that God looked and said, "Enoch, you want to come home with me?" And Enoch said, "Well, there ain't nothing really keeping me here. So let's go." But you know, that's cute and all, and I'm not trying to badmouth some of my favorite preachers I've heard tell it that way. But you know, that didn't really happen. It just says Enoch was walking with God. God didn't ask. God took him. And that's the way it's going to be in the rapture, amen? You're not going to get a phone call. "Hey, Greg, this is the Lord. I was just thinking about taking you out of here. How do you feel about that?" Ain't going to happen. It's just going to happen. But this is actually described or explained in Hebrews. You go to the what they call the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." See, he didn't die. God just took him.
Amen.
And it says, "and was not found." That's interesting because that suggests that there was a manhunt. Enoch was declared MIA, or like this girl we're praying for, whereabouts unknown. And they couldn't find him. They didn't find him. And it says, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
This reference here in Hebrews 11 is explaining what we read in Genesis 5, and it uses the word translate or translation. Now, that's a different word in the Textus Receptus. It is metatethami. Metatethami. And it means to transfer. So you have a different word, but it is still teaching the same thing, that Enoch was transferred. He was raptured. That's what the definition is the same. They're synonyms. Now, we could start saying, well, I believe in the pre-tribulation metatethemy. How's that? Instead of rapture? And then that way people couldn't say it wasn't in the Bible. Or we could just say, oh, I believe in the pre-tribulation translation. But the problem with that is everybody thinks you're talking about a Bible. Because all the word translation is always related to Bible translations and things. So again, we just stick with the word rapture, because that's just the word that has come to in our language to mean that God catches the saints away. And our first rapture there was a picture of Him catching Enoch away. And then we have a second rapture in the Bible, and that is the rapture of Elijah. Elijah, in 2 Kings 2:1, there just came a time where God was done with Elijah. But Elijah was not going to die. Now, when God's done with you and I, and it's not time for the rapture, chances are pretty good you're going to die. That's been the case with 99.9999999% of the human race. But there have been a couple of exceptions, and I don't know how many Christians there are on the earth today. It's kind of hard to believe some of these people who profess it. But I would like to believe there's between 500 million and a billion. I know I'm being very generous in that, but let's pray there are. I don't want to see anybody left behind and
Amen.
Going through that. But when the time comes, they go. They don't die. That'll be the huge exception to the rule that we read in Hebrews 9, as it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. Well, in 2 Kings 2:1 it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." So before the event even happens, the narrator, led by the Holy Ghost here in 2 Kings, says, well, that time came when Elijah's about to be raptured. Taken up into heaven, caught up. Same thing. So here in 2 Kings 2, verse 11 then, if you can see it or turn to it, read that with me. "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Now that is a rapture. If that's not a rapture, there's no such thing. And that's Old Testament, and that's number two. Now, we skip ahead to the gospel accounts and the life of Jesus Christ. And He's born of a virgin, lives a sinless life, dies a vicarious atonement and pays for the sins of the whole world, was buried, and on the third day rose again bodily from the grave. Then He spent 40 days teaching and revealing truth regarding the kingdom of God. And He demonstrated the reality of His resurrection, the Bible says, by many infallible proofs. And then we begin the book of Acts. The book of Acts describes the transition from law to grace, which, by the way, Daniel's 70 weeks. And the 69th week was when Messiah was cut off. Acts describes the transition into that parenthesis that we're now in. And at the beginning of that transition, in Acts 1:9, read that with me. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So there is Jesus being raptured. He was taken up. Now, what's interesting is, this is also referred to in the book of Revelation. If you go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5, there's a description of a woman who gives birth to a man-child. And believe it or not, the Roman church tries to say that is Mary, and it's a reference to Israel, not to Mary. And in that passage referencing to Israel in Revelation 12:5, read that with me. "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne." And that's a reference to the same thing we read in Acts 1:9 of Jesus being raptured. We call it the ascension, but it is a rapture. He was caught up. He was taken up. He was translated. And then you have the example of the Apostle Paul. Now, I have a picture up here, and it's an artistic rendering of the four beasts in front of the throne, and the 24 elders, and the multitude of angels and saints who are without number, singing and praising God and all that. But this doesn't even begin to touch the reality, but it's just an artistic rendering. And remember, Paul even said there's things that he couldn't even write about, that he saw in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul is describing this. And in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 12:2, read that with me. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven." Now that phrase, caught up, again, is from the Greek word in the received text, harpazo. So here is Paul, raptured, caught up, and taken into heaven. Now, this will tell you what kind of man Paul was. Paul went to heaven and came back and served the Lord until his death. I think a lot of us might have went nuts to go to heaven and have to come back and to face this. Quite a man. And that's why later he said, I'm caught in a strait betwixt two, wanting to go but needing to stay. But you know what? Paul did seem to be ready to die. That'd explain why he was so ready to die. He knew where he was going. He'd been there already. So you have the fourth rapture, and then I'll go back to that graphic there for the fifth rapture, and that's the church. Now the church is made up of born-again Christians. You must be born again, Jesus taught. Salvation is by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. But those who trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit in them. And when the rapture takes place, that's how you know you're going. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going. You don't have to have your name on some church denomination roll, or have done some certain work, or be affiliated with a certain group. If you've got Jesus, you've got what you need. Amen? Now, the church rapture is described in several places. We're not going to read all of them. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, Paul is talking about the time he lived in. He's talking to New Testament Christians. And he says in beginning of verse 51, read that with me. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now stop right there. He's saying that not every Christian is going to die. There are going to be some Christians who are going to be alive when the rapture takes place. And they're going to be changed. And he says, in a moment. Now we believe, and Christians have always believed that this could happen at any moment. Only since, and now there was the change into the Roman Catholic Church via Origen, Alexandria, Augustine, and some of those church fathers, they call them, which are nothing but church heretics who taught falsely. And they began saying, no, Jesus is not coming at any moment. We are building the kingdom on earth, and after we're done, He's going to come back. And that's what the Roman Catholic Church believes to this day, but so do most Protestants. They believe they're building the kingdom. And that's why through the years, for 2,000 years, Rome and some of the Protestants kill people who disagree with them because they believe they are the kingdom. Well, the Bible says that at any moment Jesus could return, and it says it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye, and that's faster than can be clocked. At the last trump, and I'm not going to get into that in depth, but that's not the seventh trumpet in Revelation. People mix that up and claim it's the same thing. Go read Revelation and read the seventh trump. You don't find a rapture there. You find a sickle. You find people dying. You find bloodshed. You don't find a rapture. Not the same trumpet. Now, he goes on and says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So that's the church being raptured, caught up. Any moment. Could happen before we're done here today. Could happen when you're driving to work in the morning, if you drive to work. Or as Mike and Martha, while you're riding and letting Coda do the driving.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. There will be an opening with Coda. Now, of course, we read verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but the previous verse goes with that. Let's read both verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is a second reference to the rapture of the church. And 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 16, read that with me. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now there again, this trump isn't the seventh trump of Revelation. The archangel doesn't show up in Revelation with the seventh trumpet. It's a different event.
Amen.
And the first thing that happens is the dead in Christ rise. They're not slaughtered. That's what happens in the seventh trumpet of Revelation. There's a slaughter. These people are not slaughtered. They're resurrected. It's a complete opposite event. Now verse 17. Read that with me. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there's that harpazo, caught up again. So you have the rapture of the church is the fifth rapture we find in the Bible. Now, there's a sixth rapture, and we go to the book of Revelation, and the sixth rapture is with John the Beloved. And John the Beloved in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, I do believe this is symbolic of the rapture of the church, because after Revelation 4, 1, as you read from Revelation 4, 1 through Revelation 19, that's the Great Tribulation period. It's the 70th week of Daniel. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, and there's no church. You do not find the church between Revelation 4:1 and Revelation 19. Again, it's not the time of the church's trouble, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. And that is why I believe we see here in Revelation 4:1 this rapture. And Revelation 4:1, this is John. Read that with me. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, the similarities between that and what we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 are clear. And you have the voice, the voice of the archangel in First Thessalonians 4:16-17, and you have a voice here. You have the trump in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. You have the trumpet. It's as a trumpet talking with me. And he's caught up with the trumpet, and he heard, "Come up hither." And he went up. He was raptured. So there's a sixth rapture in the church, and it's John the Beloved. And the final rapture that we'll talk about is this seventh rapture in the Bible, and that's the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. The two witnesses who, I believe, and we've discussed, it's pretty clear, it's Elijah and Moses, the law and the prophets, being represented by the prophet and the lawgiver, Moses and Elijah. And this is an artistic rendering of two witnesses, the two witnesses being caught up. The only problem with that picture is it looks like it's kind of out on a hill. I don't know if that may be the Mount of Olives there. I'm not sure where that is, but I believe they'd be in the streets of Jerusalem and just go up. So that's the only thing I would change about that picture from the text. But in Revelation 11 is the story of the two witnesses, and these two witnesses are used of God to speak to the Antichrist world system, and the Antichrist hates them, and people try to do them harm and speak against them, and they actually are able to speak, and fire comes out and devours the people who come against them, to a point. And then at some point, God says, "Okay, I'm done with you, and you're going to die for my sake." And these two witnesses will die, and I believe that it appears that they'll be beheaded, because they're beheading people for in the tribulation period. It sounds an awful lot like Islam. But these two witnesses are dead in the street for 3 days. Three and a half, I think. And yeah, it says right there, "and after 3.5 days." So in Revelation 11:11, read this rapture account with me. "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." You better believe it.
Amen.
They've been dead for 3.5 days. They stinketh. Like Lazarus was 4 days. Surely, Lord, by now he stinketh. I bet this is in Jerusalem, and if this is in the summertime, they stinketh. And then the Spirit of God comes into them. They stand up. Now read verse 12 with me. "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them," there it is again, "come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." That's a rapture. They were caught up. They ascended up. There it is again, a voice, and he says, "come up hither," just like in Revelation 4:1. So we have our seven raptures in the Bible. And this is just to emphasize the rapture is a biblical teaching. As a matter of fact, early Christian writings, including a book called Pseudo-Ephraim, make reference to this imminent rapture of the church before the tribulation. Pseudo-Ephraim is from the 4th century. There are also many references where Christians testified in the earliest centuries. Not as much among church fathers, by the way, as it is amongst just the regular, what we call laity. What the world calls laity. That just means the normal Christian. Hugh Latimer was a man who was a martyr in the 16th century, and he testified that he was just, I'm going to paraphrase, but he basically said he wondered at the idea that before he died, even though he was becoming an old man, that before he died, he and his loved ones could be raptured, he didn't use that word, caught up out of this world before the tribulation. So this idea of the rapture is a doctrine that Christians have always believed in, but it's nonconformist Christians outside of Rome and outside of the state churches who have believed in this any moment rapture of the church. And they have something in common with us, not only that we believe this, but the reason they believed it was because they were Bible believers. They didn't follow the church fathers. They didn't follow the councils of the churches. They didn't follow the ex cathedra statements of the Pope. They didn't follow the confessions and the creeds that were produced by the state churches. They followed the Bible. And that's why cults will tell people, don't read the Bible alone. Read our watchtower with that Bible. Read the keys to health and science with the Bible. Whatever it is you're reading, you know, whatever you're called, read that with the Bible. Why? Because they even say if you read the Bible all by itself, you will revert back to the errors of evangelical Christianity. And they're so blind they don't realize what they're saying. What they're saying is that if you leave a man or a woman alone with the Bible and the Holy Spirit, they come to the same conclusions. And you have to have some cult literature or a scholar to totally mess things up. And I encourage you, don't check your brain in for anybody. God has given you the capacity that with His help, the Holy Spirit teaching you. You study that book, and I do mean King James Version. And you study that faithfully. And you will learn. And you will grow. And when someone says the rapture is not in the Bible, hopefully you paid attention and now you have an answer. And not an answer just so you can prove you're right. You're looking at a person who has been robbed of their hope. You're looking at a person who's been robbed of the blessed hope of knowing that Jesus could come at any moment and take you. And they aren't looking for Jesus. They're looking for the Antichrist. They're busy looking for the collapse of the economic system. They're busy looking for the Great Tribulation. And little do they realize that the purpose of the Great Tribulation is that 70th week when God deals with Israel, one last 7-year period, and with the Gentile nations who have joined with Antichrist. And His purpose is chastisement and wrath. You have not been appointed to wrath, but to receive salvation. But that does not mean, and hear me closely and clearly, that does not mean you will not suffer persecution. What the pre-tribulation rapture says is God's not going to pour His wrath out on you. But today, Christians were killed overseas. This week, Christians were rounded up and imprisoned overseas just for preaching the gospel. This past year, hundreds and thousands of Christians suffered for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's coming to America. Amen. And could come sooner than we think. So it is to encourage you, just because you're not going to suffer the wrath of God in the tribulation, don't believe this name it and claim it nonsense that you should never suffer, because that's not Bible. The Bible says if you will live as a Christian, you will suffer. That's Bible.